Thank you, Brother Felix, for hosting and those the song and the comments that you made. Thank you for everyone, Sister Rose, the reading, Brother Paul on the line, and Cherie, the reading, and all of us. And those of us that are on the way, I got a little message that one person is on the way to be physically here with us, but she's running late. So hope she finds a parking place easily and so she could be here. So amen. So we're here on this Sabbath day. Some of us make various degrees of effort to keep the Sabbath holy. Those of us that are meeting here at this facilities, we had to travel a little bit to get here. Some of us that are home, where we plug in and we're looking for opportunities to assemble, as that's very important that we are assembling together and pray and make every effort to find brethren. So dear brethren, today this is Brother Jackson, we will be continuing with our presentation discussion as to why we are here. Okay, so I want to keep this within timing, in time. Okay, so last Sabbath, we went over, and I would say briefly, even though it took me a little while, but it's really briefly because the problems of the world are so much. We considered all the anger, danger, fear, and hate and wars that are in our world that has been going on from ancient times till this very day. We know here in the United States, after so many years, the American troops are being pulled out of Afghanistan. A lot of people want them out. Some people want them to stay. Wars and wars, hate, the lack of ability to do what's right. And we saw how there's no human institution, whether it's the governments, the school systems, even the religious systems of this world, they do not provide a solution. And unfortunately, sometimes these very institutions that should be providing solutions, being sources of solutions, actually create problems more than solutions. And those few in the world, generation after generation, that want to do what's right often are being silenced by the oppressive governments or by the societies, the communities that they're in, and sometimes even their own family, our own family. So we've been in charge for many, since the day Elohim created us, but because of our sinful nature, we've just been creating problems for ourselves and for the very environment that we are in. But we mentioned that despite all the evil around us, and as I mentioned, even sometimes in ourselves, if we're not careful, especially if we don't know the Savior and have a right relationship with Him, be in union with Him by His Spirit, evil could dwell in us. All right? But we were created for a great purpose, as we mentioned. We were created to take care of this world. And as we take care of this world and its creatures, we would develop the characteristics that Elohim wanted us to develop, not just by reading the law, but by doing. You shall do, and you shall understand, according to the scriptures. That's the way of Elohim. That's how He instructs. You do and you understand. We even saw that in Messiah. When Messiah was teaching them the level of humility they needed to have during that Passover meal, he what? Took the towel, wrapped it around, and started to wash his the disciples' feet. He says, you don't understand what I am doing, but you shall understand. So we have to get into doing, not just sitting back and watching and reading. We have to learn and do, receive the instruction and do. And so as we do that, and as Adam and Eve were doing that, they would have developed the characteristics that Elohim had intended in the garden. They would have developed a good relationship with Elohim, their creator, and with nature, and so on. We touched on that last Sabbath, and we touched on how we need a savior, because no one is doing it. There's no organization. There's no man-made organization or individual or institution that's doing it, that's really working to bring salvation. And more as this world is becoming wicked, we see that they're actually creating problems so that they can find ways to benefit from the problem. They create a problem, and then they, quote unquote, create a solution, whether to gain money or to gain control. Okay? They're not providing solutions to really be solutions, to solve the problem, but they're creating problems to keep people under their control and to make money, to be in charge. That's what's going on in every aspect of our worldly society. But we need a savior, because we can see all of this is spiraling out of control. Our generations are being robbed of righteousness, of dignity, of justice and mercy and love. And with this, we have generations of ruthlessness and despots and tyrants in governments and reprobates, destroying society, creating a society where it's not safe to be in the streets. The reason is my daughter and I were talking as we went outside quickly before sunset yesterday, just to get look outside a little bit. We were talking about how if we don't learn what's right, if society, how societies become despots and evil is because they don't learn what's right. So we need a savior to turn us away from this evil way. And we're grateful that we are not alone, that there is a creator. Why are we here? Why do we come on Sabbaths? Why do we read the scriptures? Why do we pray? Because we have an Elohim. We have a living power over us who is, as we went, he's the eternal. He is the Am. He is the Alpha. He is the will be. He is the Omega. He is the Rishon, the first. He is the Aaron, the everlasting, the evermore. He is the all-knowing. He is the all-powerful. He is spirit. He is infinite, excellent glory and majesty. He is love and selflessness. And he is Kadosh, Kadosh, holy, holy, holy. Set apart, set apart. This is the Elohim. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, brethren. That's why we seek each other out. There are not many of us, and that's why it's so important that we seek each other out. Just like Philip, I believe it was Philip, when he discovered the master, he did what? He went running, found his brother. I think it was Andrew he went to find, right? And he says, we found the Mashiach, we found the anointed one. And we are made like the anointed one. We must find each other, brethren. It's very important that we find each other, that we're not separated. The adversary has separated us. Through many, we've been deceived so much. Even the congregations of Elohim have been deceived, but we must not stay deceived. So we have this great Elohim. And he created us for a marvelous purpose, as he said. And that purpose is that we should be his family. We should be like him. We should be like him. We would have a growing relationship with Elohim, our creator, and the host of the universe, of the Shamayim. So this was the role, and actually still is, if we unified and returned to our Elohim and Messiah's name, his authority. For we know in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. We know Elohim made mankind in his image. And we know that he sent his word to save us from our sins, to do something that no one would believe, that he would forgive sins. No one would believe. Elohim says, I will do something that you will not believe. Through the prophet, he said in the prophets, you will not believe it. And so many still don't believe it. They don't believe that Elohim will forgive every sin. It is written that in Messiah, all sins will be forgiven, even that which is not written in the law. The only sin that will not be forgiven is the sin of rebelling against his spirit. When his spirit says, here, I'm here to save you. And you refuse. You refuse his salvation, proven by his spirit to you, to us. That's the only way to be lost. So the scripture says, in the beginning was the word, and was the var, was the word, the logos. And the logos, the var, the word, the expression, was with Elohim, the power for all things. And the word was El, the power. He was in the Bereshit, the beginning, with Elohim. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it or could not apprehend it. John, Yochanan 1, verses 1 through 5. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we can be saved. For there is one Elohim, Timothy says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and mankind, that Ben Adam, Mashiach Yeshua. And it says, Yochanan, the beloved servant of Elohim, in 1 John 3, verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the B'nai Elohim, the children of Elohim. So this is the ultimate purpose. Are we going to give it up? Are we going to let anything interrupt with that? Look outside in the world. Is this what you want? This degeneration, this evil, this darkness. No. No, 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 no. But there is an adversary that's looking to keep us from all of this. All of what? That we should be children of Elohim. Not just to live and die on planet Earth as righteousness, but to have the resurrection, to have the everlasting life. He will regenerate mankind to live forever, to experience and achieve wonderful things beyond our imagination. He gives us an idea by describing his government and what his regenerated or born again, born from above people, mankind will be like. And we mention in the resurrection, we are like the angels, he said in one place. And in another place, he says, we don't die anymore. We will be equal to the angels. We are B'nai Elohim, sons of Elohim, being sons of the resurrection, not sons of death and decay. That's in Matthew 22, verse 30, and Luke 20, verse 36. But let's move on to touch on today. There's so much to cover, we can't. But we do have an enemy. Why are we here? To be Elohim's family, to live the life, to be the light, the salt of the earth, to be children of the resurrection, sons of Elohim. But we have an adversary. There is the Hasatan, the adversary, that's the Satan's and his demons. We cannot go into that too much. But the Bible tells us that Elohim gave mankind through Moses and other select or elect individuals' instruction, Torah, for life and qualification for becoming that family of Elohim, that mishpocha of Elohim. The Bible also warns us that there is a powerful spirit being in the world seeking to deceive and destroy mankind. This adversary, Hasatan, looks for every opportunity to keep us from becoming Elohim's family by deceiving us, teaching us ways of selfishness, fear, hate, and ultimately the ways of death. This is why mankind has not been able and can't do what is right on his own and needs a savior. We need Yeshua. We need the anointed savior. The servant, the prophet Yochanan, the baptizer said, for the Torah, the instruction, the law was given through Moshe, and grace and truth came through Yeshua Messiah. No one has seen Elohim at any time. The uniquely born Son, who is at the right side, who is at the side, the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John, Yochanan, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18. So Elohim's salvation, the Alpha, has a solution. In progress, it's in progress to forever eliminate the work of Satan and give mankind life now and everlasting life in the future. The solution is his divine expression, the Devar Elohim, the Logos, or the Word, Yeshua, the Anointed Savior. Here are some important things to understand and acknowledge concerning the Anointed Savior. He is the divine expression of Elohim. As mentioned before, Yeshua is the divine Logos, or the Devar, the Word of Elohim, that came to earth as a man of mortal flesh. Because he was born by the Spirit of Elohim. He lived and functioned by the Spirit, not like us who function by fleshy bodies and minds that are full of limitations, self-centered needs and desires and fears, etc. He is not like that. He is by the Spirit of Elohim. In him dwells the fullness of Ha'av, the Father. By the infinite power of the Spirit of Elohim, the Anointed Savior lived a perfectly sinless life and righteous life, obeying and promoting all the commandments of Elohim. So by the Spirit of Elohim, the Anointed Savior came to save this world, taught that everyone must repent, obey the instruction, commandments of Elohim. 3, he taught that everyone must believe the good news. As found in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. Now that after Yochanan was put in prison, Yeshua, the Anointed Savior, came to Galilee, preaching the good news, the Habesorah Gedula, of the kingdom of Elohim, saying, quote, the time is fulfilled, the time is at hand, and the kingdom, the Malchut of Elohim is at hand. Do what? What do you do? Repent and believe in the good news. That's how we are to be saved. And 4, Yeshua did incredible, beneficent and life-saving miracles. They were not vain miracles like the adversary or demons would do or his servants. They were virtuous, helpful, life-saving miracles. Yeshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, their shulim, their shuls, their synagogues, their meeting places, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The blind was made to see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. As recorded in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and verses 11 through 5. What else did Yeshua do? He gave his life for the entire world during Passover season. As it's written in Matthew chapter 26, verse 2 says, quote, "You know that after 2 days is Pesach, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Matthew 26, verse 2. And another writer says, "And when Yahushua had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last." Luke 23, verses 44 through 46. So he gave his life so that we can live. But how, praise Elohim, praise Yeshua, praise his spirit. It didn't end there. Six, there was the resurrection. He came back to life on the day of first fruits as the first fruits for all. But he said to them, quote, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Yeshua of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, as recorded in Mark 16, verse 6. But now Messiah is risen from the dead and has become what? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." 1 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Seven great works among many. What did he do next? He ascended. He went up to Elohim to be the perfect high priest, as Brother Korn was covering during the Midrash this Wednesday. He went up to Elohim to forgive, to forgive and give the Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward Shamayim, towards the heavens, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. We know these two men were Malachim, were angels, who also said, quote, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Yehoshua, this same Savior who was taken up from you into Shamayim, into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven," as recorded in Acts 1, verses 8 through 11. And when they had prayed, another record of this, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of Elohim in boldness. This is like some 50 days later, after Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Yes, he rose from the dead to give us life, to forgive us of our sins, and to provide Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Him, Elohim, has exalted to his right hand to be prince, to be Tsar and Savior, Yeshua, to give repentance, shuv, to Israel, and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verses 31. But as Yeshua goes more than seven, he also goes to the eight. He will return to establish the Malkut, the government and kingdom of Elohim on this earth. For he is coming, it's written, for he is coming to judge the earth, says Enoch. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth, says, as recorded in Psalms 96, verse 13. O enemy, O adversary, O HaSatan, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. but the eternal shall endure forever. No, Hasatan, you cannot touch the anointed. He has prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the people in uprightness. Yes, we see many evils today, but when Yeshua sets up his government, it shall be in righteousness and uprightness. He shall administer it and order it. The eternal also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Not, there shall be no more exploiters. He will remove them from the lands. And those who know your name, know your Shem, know your authority, will put their trust in you, O Elohim. For you, Sovereign, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalms chapter 9, verse 6, 18. The Son of Man, the Ben Adam, will send out his angels, his Malachim, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. And those who practice lawlessness, Matthew 13, verse 14. These are the words of Mashiach himself. He shall send forth his angels and rid his kingdom of evil. And one says, Rav Shaul, the one who suffered much in his name, says, I charge you therefore. This is the message to us, brethren, to all the Kehilah, to all the Kahal, to all the congregations of Elohim. The Apostle Paul says, I charge you therefore before Elohim and the sovereign Yeshua, the anointed, who will judge the living and the dead. Who will judge the living of the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, as recorded in 2 Timothy verses 44 through 1. Then we see also in the book of Revelation, the seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven saying what? These are not the voices in the heavens. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our sovereign, of Yahu, of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and of his Mashiach. And he shall reign forever and ever, as recorded in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The time will come when that proclamation will go off from the heavens. No more kingdoms of darkness. No more kingdoms of extortioners, of liars, of deceivers, of evil men, of oppression. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, for over such the second death has no power. But they shall be what? They shall be priests of Elohim and of Mashiach, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal, as the waters cover the sea. Prophet Isaiah, Yeshayahu, says in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 11, verse 9. So he will return to establish the government of Elohim on earth, remove evil, establish righteousness, and it shall cover all the deep, all the earth. Amen. Do we have much to look forward for? That's why we are here, brethren. Let's remember these things. Nine. It's nine. By the seventh, as recorded in Enoch and all the prophets of Elohim, by the seventh, all evil shall stop and righteousness shall reign. In the eighth, the government shall be established. In the ninth, he will destroy Satan's work. Inasmuch then as the children shall have partaken of flesh and blood, He himself likewise shared in the same, and through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear and death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Let me see our time here. Okay, have another 15 minutes and then I'll end. And I'll actually end with the ninth, actually, so I could take comments and questions that you may have. So he will destroy the works of Hasatan. Right now, we see much of his work. Children are being perverted at such a young age. They're robbed of who they can be. I always tell them, be who you can be. Be who you were created to be. Don't be what someone else is telling you you ought to be. Many are robbed. They don't even become who they really were designed to be. They're watching this celebrity, that person, this dancer, this rapper, this nonsense they're watching, and they start imitating those. And they never get a chance to be who the Spirit of Elohim had put them to be. The evil suppress. We must be the light. We must be the salt. We must be the rain that showers. We must be that spirit that will quicken in them who they were supposed to be. Because the servants of Hasatan will rob them of that knowledge, will suppress that knowledge. And they don't even get to be what they were supposed to be. Not only that, they're told what to be. They're told to be what they're not, to such a point where they're so deceived they will even cut themselves, change their nature, go to great lengths to be what they were not to be. Let's know why we are here. We're here to be that light. We're here. We can't do it alone. Yeshua says he sent them two by two. And then he made them into a congregation, two by two. After you've done your work, come together, assemble, praise your Elohim, pray for the strength you need to do what you saw, to face the challenges that you are meeting. He did not call us to isolate ourselves. We must work hard to seek each other out. Where do you live? In Germany? Somewhere else in Europe? In New York? In Washington, wherever you are in the United States, wherever you are in the world, find your brethren next to you. Find them, seek them, and love them, and give thanks to Elohim that he has enabled you to find so rich a people. Not by our works, not by our righteousness, but by his Spirit. He has purified you. He has sanctified you. There are others, dear brethren, that are doing the same. Don't stop assembling with your brethren. Find them this week. If you haven't been doing it, make it your business. This very day, make it your business. If you don't know other Sabbath-keeping people, others who love Elohim and his Son, and his kingdom, his Spirit, and all that is, make it your business to find them. Did not the apostles did that? On the very Sabbath day, at the third hour, or was it the ninth hour? They went out to do what? To a place where they knew there was prayer. Yes, they went there to be with others of like mind, for it is written, where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. And whatsoever they shall ask in my name, I will do. That's how the kingdom comes. Don't isolate yourselves, brethren. For I tell you the truth. Elohim loves the world. And he especially loves those who love him. Those who will come and love him and his Son and his Spirit and his kingdom. Don't divide over things. Don't divide over knowledge. For knowledge puffs up. A little leaven puffs up. Knowledge is to be kept in the bond of love and mercy. When knowledge is kept outside of love, it separates and divides, and that knowledge itself becomes corrupt and becomes false. And that very truth, you know, you will be robbed of it. For knowledge that comes from above is first peaceable and is from above, not from man. We must not divide over anything. As a congregation, I tell you the truth, we must not even divide over the Sabbath day. We must not. Even if a brother or sister does not yet know that knowledge, if he or she is willing to assemble with that, take every opportunity. Because we were once void of the knowledge of the Sabbath. Some of us were. I was. But I came to the knowledge. I keep the Sabbath, not because of the Sabbath, because I love Elohim. And all who love him will keep his commandments. So don't divide, because Elohim knows what he is doing. As we unite the shaft, the Spirit will blow the shaft away, and he will gather the grain in his barn. Don't divide, because that's the work of the adversary. Don't divide over whether a brother meets on Sabbath or not. The Sabbath is the truth. The Sabbath is the day, the seventh day. Sunday is the day of the covenant. He has a purpose for every reason. But don't divide even if a brother or sister thinks Sunday is the Sabbath. No, 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 no. As long as that brother is willing, sister is willing to fellowship with you, believes in his fellowship with that sister, because the light of Elohim, which is the truth, the Spirit of truth, will shine through you, through that brother or sister, and cause him or her to keep the Sabbath. For it is written in Ezekiel that the Spirit will cause them to love my law and walk in it. So please, brethren, let us be strong in the way of Elohim and not be deceived any longer in letting things divide us. Polycarp. I understand why Polycarp didn't divide. When he was talking about the Sabbath and when Passover was to be kept, he did not divide with the other brethren. And the other brethren were wise too initially. They did not divide. They worked as much as possible. We need to do that. Let me finish here. There's more, but I'll finish it next Sabbath. So, he will destroy Satan and his works. One of his works is that division. Let's not go there. The Spirit of Elohim, again, let me stress, is powerful, infinitely. And I tell you, if you stay united in the love of Elohim, people will change by the Spirit of Elohim in you. That's our job. Yeshua came and he touched the lepers. What did the law say to do with the lepers? Lepers were to stay outside the camp. Yeshua went to the lepers. Yeshua touched the lepers. Yeshua could have said, all he needed to do was to think it, will it. And the lepers would have been cleansed. But he says, I will. And he touched the leper. Isn't it not written, you should not make yourself unclean? He was not made unclean. We are being made and changed into the likeness until we're changed into the full stature, measure of our Yeshua. And we have to understand we are to be the light. Don't abandon the so-called churches. As much as they will receive you, go. Just as the apostles did. The apostles went into the synagogues that were filled with infidels and unbelievers. They did not abandon them. Let them reject us. Let us not reject those who would be with us. We have to be like Yeshua. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, let us put on the mind of Messiah. Then you will see the victory that the congregation of Elohim will have, the congregation that's truly in his hand, that's not deceived, that will not fall prey to the deceptions of Satan through knowledge misapplied. Knowledge must be kept within the bond of love. So let me end here and say this part. So he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man, the Ben Adam, was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And of his servants we read, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Division, hatred, unrighteousness, lasciviousness, all types of evil. We're to conform to Elohim and not to the devil or his image in any way. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelations 19:20. That's the end of the adversary and his minions. And then the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophets are or were, and shall be tormented day and night for ages, aeons. Revelations 20, verse 10. And death, and lastly, death and hell, which is their work, which is the work of sin. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelations 20, verse 14. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations 20, verse 15. So then, brethren, by his divine power, our Yahushua will generate the lake of fire to absolutely and forever destroy everything and everyone that refuses to stop doing and supporting the ideologies and acts of destruction and death. Dear brethren, I stop here. Quick recap is that we have a great purpose to be here. Yeshua taught us repentance, belief in the gospel, baptism, receiving of his spirit, receiving of his ways, so that we can be saved and that we can help others be saved, and that he will destroy the works of the adversary, and he will give us life and everlasting life. So I stop here. We will try to finish this next Shabbat, the eternal permitting, and